I think I would have probably said, if anything, don't hesitate, because I've changed careers a few times before I even found tech in my 30s.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Atlanta, Georgia, visiting with one of my favorite companies that I've used for years and years and years myself, Calendly. Calendly, I mean, when I knew it, it was very much a startup, and now it's moved into tech company, and we can get into that. I'm here with Tiffany, who is the Director of Customer Success, which, as you guys know, I'm so passionate about customer experience. I couldn't be happier about talking to the person who coordinates it all.
I'm happy to be here.
So, Tiffany, go ahead and give us a formal introduction of yourself.
Oh, well, I think you did a pretty great job. I'm Tiffany Cosgrove. I'm the Director of Customer Success at Calendly. It is a SaaS startup specifically for scheduling. We help people get meetings in a very simple, streamlined way. But the biggest piece of my role here is to run our customer service department and make sure that our customers are able to use our software successfully and schedule millions of meetings.
Awesome. And you weren't always in the tech world. So let's start at the beginning, where your kind of professional journey started. And then what was the point that you realized you were really excited about the world of technology?
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite a journey. Definitely started as far away from SaaS and technology as possible. Out of college, I went to the University of Florida. I was an anthropology major and had a career for a few years in archaeology and worked my way up through the food chain there doing cultural resource management, which is contract digging, essentially, in some pretty desolate areas of America that I would never go back to. But through my time there, I realized that I wanted to progress in my career, and I was ready to be more of a leader. But in such an academic field, right, you had to have a higher educational degree. And so I really thought about, well, what do I want to do next? Will I hit this wall again? And revisited a thought that I hadn't really had since around fourth grade.
Right.
Of, I want to be a lawyer like daddy. and decided that...
I mean, that's totally different.
Completely different. People are like, what? What? And in that, decided that even if law didn't work out, I would have a much more versatile degree under my belt. So I took the plunge and took the LSAT and applied to a bunch of law schools, mostly here in Atlanta, since I was living here at the time, and went through the whole process, got the education, passed the bar, started practicing law. And I'm not still... looking back, 100% sure if it was the area of practice or the firms I was working at.
Right.
But, at some point realized I was going to a job that I wasn't looking forward to waking up to go to every day. And, in my search for jobs in different fields of law, compliance and things like that, or environmental law that touched more back on things that I was passionate about, I came across an opportunity, which I considered at that time like an in-the-meantime job.
Right.
Of being a director of operations at a video marketing startup here in Atlanta. And that was my first kind of delve into the startup scene. And there were definitely a lot of challenges in that role, the company that was just a few people at that time. But I was kind of excited by it.
Yeah.
And through my time there, made some really great contacts in the startup world. A lot of them were women in tech. and... when the time came for me to look for a new role, I reached out to that network and was able to get my next move into SalesLoft, which is another SaaS startup, which also grew out of the Atlanta Tech Village here, on their customer success team, where I spent just under 2 years really learning the nitty-gritty and the ins and outs of building a customer success program. And if you're going to fail, fail fast.
Right.
And, you know, what are the things doing well and how we can do more of those? And, you know, as I took on, like, the growth and education opportunities that I had there, I realized that I was ready to move to the next level again.
Right.
Apparently, that is what I like to do. And in that, I had also been a Calendly user, like you, from the very beginning. And
oh, before you ever worked at the company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in my role as a customer success rep, so I scheduled, you know, troubleshooting calls,
right.
onboarding calls, implementation calls, configuration calls, renewal calls, like any kind of call or screen share that you would have with a customer I used Calendly for. And in that, I also just coincidentally happened to know Tope, who's the CEO and founder of Calendly.
And he's so nice.
He's so great. Well, we went to the same gym. So not only did I run into him from time to time at the village, but you know, I was really lucky that I got to have those kinds of candid conversations about how his company was progressing and where they were at with customer service.
Right.
And we talked more and more about the kinds of things that he might want to look for in someone, you know, at a company getting to this point to lead the team, you know, because as CEO, you have to kind of pull back a little bit.
Right.
And you can't be making all the decisions and be at every meeting as things scale out. And then I realized I was talking very passionately about the things that I enjoy. And I was like, hey, Tope, let's make this a little less hypothetical of a conversation. And he, you know, took a shot on me, and things have been incredible. It's been almost a year now. Our team has grown from three people to as big as 12 not that long ago. And we've just done incredible things. We're helping so many customers be successful. Like, the volume of tickets we get is crazy, and our satisfactions are off the charts.
One of the things that I really want to stop and take note of, because it's really important, is here's someone that you were having conversations with at the gym, and then you took the chance to go out there and put forth what you wanted and said, give me the opportunity. And then he met you halfway and gave that to you. And I think that's something really important, because a lot of us think, oh, they'll say no, or I'm not experienced enough, or I don't have whatever it takes, instead of just doing the ask. So what kind of mindset do you have that led you to the point to be able to just go out there and ask for the opportunity you wanted?
Well, I was definitely nervous. It wasn't easy to, you know, voice up what I really wanted. And I'm not sure, like, if that's just because I'm slightly introverted or, you know, just the way that things are done traditionally. But I just, something in me, like, I knew I couldn't pass up this opportunity, and I went for it. I committed. I was determined to make this work for me. And not only that, when I got here to, like, prove that it wasn't the wrong choice, and that there's so much more that, you know, we can continue to do and keep growing things here.
At what point did you realize that, like, how old were you when you knew you wanted to switch into a new career?
Yeah, I had been practicing law for a couple years. I actually went to law school in my mid-20s, so it was already a second career at that point. So at the time I decided that I didn't want to practice law anymore, I was pretty much 2 days before my 30th birthday.
And then was it intimidating discovering the world of tech, where everyone seems to be 19 wearing a hoodie, making billions of dollars, to enter in that world past being a teenager?
It wasn't really intimidating. Like, at first I thought, oh, tech, it's a really young people's space. But then I'm fortunate to have my first, some of my first experiences involved with the Atlanta Tech Village, where it was a really great eye-opener that anybody can jump in at any time. There's definitely people here, you know, even more than 20 years older than I am, just trying to get their feet off the ground.
What resource would you say exists in Atlanta that is, like, a must go to integrate into the tech scene?
Startup Village, actually, here at the Atlanta Tech Village, is a really incredible event. It's a pitching opportunity. It's actually run by another woman in tech. Her name is Allie Merritt, and she works at SalesLoft as well. And she does an incredible job of bringing people together and getting them excited about new opportunities in the tech space in Atlanta.
Cool. Where can we find out more about that?
The Village blog, yeah. AtlantaTechVillage.com. They have a blog on there.
Now, why did you know it was the right opportunity for you? Like, what about that just made sense to you? Because I know, again, there's so many people listening right now that wonder what decision is right for them or how do they know when they should move forward on something. So what was it that was right for you?
Yeah, I think I'm thinking back. I remember I was excitedly talking about it with anybody that would listen to me and asking them, you know, like, should I do it? Should I do it? Because I was leaving behind a, you know, pretty secure position with really great benefits.
And this was the video startup, right?
I know this was SalesLoft.
Okay.
And I was excited. I was thinking about like, oh man, if I was gonna come in, what would my strategy be? Like as I was like going to sleep at night and I was writing everything down like frantically as it came to my mind. I was like, I'm going to present this and it's going to be amazing. And there's just no way I'm going to let this get away from me. And the fact that I just like couldn't let it go.
Right.
And I was just really excited and smiling when I thought about like what it would be like if I was in that role and all the things that I knew that I could do and just had to have the chance to do.
Right.
Were kind of what like fueled me to just go for it. And it was scary. It was definitely scary. But it was an exciting scary.
Awesome. Hold the mic a little closer to your chin. No, it's okay. Like everybody does. So your role is all about the thing that I think is most important. It's like the most effective marketing. It's the most effective growth hacking. It's the most effective retention. It's the most effective for sales. It's customer experience. Customer experience is the core of any company actually doing well. What kind of have you learned about customer experience that you could share with us about how to become better at customer experience ourselves?
I think one of the biggest pieces is being a product expert, being empathetic, being a good communicator, having a technical aptitude, especially for a SaaS company, and having a passion for being able or wanting to help people be successful in any aspect of life. Not everybody in my department has a customer success background, but we look for qualities that will translate into the things I was just mentioning when we're hiring. And, you know, in that we are also a very agile team because things change very fast. And I think when we put ourselves in our customer's shoes at the end of the day, it's like our goal as a company is to help people be more efficient. So we want to be efficient. We want to solve their problem, but we want them to have a good and memorable experience.
Right.
When they walk away, because at the end of the day, your competition can play feature catch up with you all day long.
Right.
And like you said, what's going to set you apart is what happens when that user needs help.
Totally. And the thing that's so cool about talking to you is I feel like, what's it called? You're an entrepreneur within a company. Like you have a very entrepreneurial role. Like you own your role. I heard you say that, you know, even when you're at home, you're thinking about it, how to improve it. What do you do like outside of the office that's still related to work that you feel just so passionate about? Are there certain books that you read or is there a certain way you journal or is there a certain place that you write down your strategies or thoughts?
Besides checking my email 100 times a day, definitely a lot of ongoing education and personal development. I would say probably like 99% of it is on my own accord. I like reading books about customer success and companies that have done well. I get email newsletters and try to keep up with blogs, but also sometimes at home I know it's very important to decompress and kind of distance myself from it. So I definitely try to find balance there with pleasure reading or going to the gym or going for walks and just listening to music and clear my head out to make room for more of those great ideas.
What is maybe one book or blog that you recommend we read?
Well, as a team right now, we're reading Delivering Happiness, the Zappos story, and we're going to have like a group discussion about that. But personally, and most recently, Hug Your Haters was a great read. And it was exciting too because I was like, "Oh, we do that."
Yeah.
And it's more about you know, people that aren't having the best experience. Like the tendency of a majority of businesses is to sort of sweep them under the rug, pretend like they don't exist, And really what we need to do is embrace that as an opportunity to be better and show how much we care.
I love that. What would you say if you could talk to your younger self, what would you, knowing going from not being in the world of tech to being in the world of tech and finding the world of tech later, can we talk about that a little bit? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what would you say to your younger self? Like, what did you tell me before we started, which I thought was the coolest?
Not to be afraid to change careers in your 30s.
Yeah. So let's get into that. Like, you're in your 30s. What would you tell your younger self about discovering the world today? How would you have improved that pathway? Or is there anything you would have changed?
I think I would have probably said, if anything, you know, don't hesitate, because I've changed careers a few times before I even found tech in my 30s. And in addition to my own internal decision about like the educational benefits and the long-term benefits of going to law school, I also knew that was something that was like really important to my mom and my family.
Right.
And I felt pressure like, okay, this is the decision. I'm going to be an awesome attorney now. And this is just what it's going to be. And I think that, you know, it's just really important to recognize and take a step back and kind of evaluate where you are in life from time to time and not force yourself to do something that you just aren't enjoying just because, you know, it makes other people happy.
Right.
And that's not to say that everything should be perfect, but it's definitely worth kind of having that conversation with yourself from time to time.
100%. How can people connect with you?
Well, I actually just started a new webpage. It's called #customerlove.com, spelled out hashtag. And there's a Twitter account where it's customer love with the underscores in the front. Underscore CUSTOMERLOVE underscore. And then also my personal Twitter, I'll spell it out, IBSTYLINYO.
Wait, will you do it one more time?
It sounds out as Ivy Salinio, and it's kind of actually a funny tribute back to my first foray into tech beyond Number Munchers. It was my very first AOL Instant Messenger screen name.
It's awesome. Spell for us one more time.
IBSTYLINYO.
Amazing.
So I definitely just dated myself if I didn't already tell you my age before.
And before we wrap up, what would you say is one way that you overcome obstacles?
Well, it's actually by looking at them as opportunities. And that's rooted in another book that I've read a few times now called The Obstacle is the Way. And the foundation in that book is Stoicism, but it's really comes down to how do you approach the challenges? You know, what are you seeing them the way that they are? Are you seeing them with some sort of other influence? What do you need to do to get past that? And will you continue to do it?
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for spending time with the Women in Tech podcast.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Been awesome. One thing that we do, and I don't have any right here, but I met this founder in North Carolina in Wilmington who created a trackable, shareable bracelet. And I thought it was a really unique way to connect women in tech around the world. And so I'm going to see if we could get you one. And what it is, it has a little ID number on it. And what you do is you receive it and you say like how you receive the bracelet. And then within 2 weeks, you give it to another woman in tech and then she does the same. And then we could track the story of all the women in tech that have this bracelet. I think it's really cool. So I will, it's called Share Your Compass. So I'll keep you posted on that. You guys, I will talk to you guys, hear you guys, see you guys in the next episode. Remember to connect with more amazing women in tech on the Women in Tech Facebook group, womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight to the Facebook group. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Betalist, one of my favorite companies to gain exposure to your startup before you're even live. Go to betalist.com/womenintech and get featured. Yes, get your startup featured while still in beta and make sure people know that you're about to go live. So when you open the floodgates for business, you'll be ready with pre-existing customers and signups. That's betalist.com/womenintech. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.